The Public News Service Daily Newscast, September the 27th, 2022. I'm Mike Clifford. Massachusetts residents are being asked to step up just as they did 5 years ago to help their fellow Americans in Puerto Rico.
The Massachusetts United for Puerto Rico Fund raised more than $4 million after Hurricane Maria devastated the island in 2017. But government dysfunction and the immense structural damage from the storm allowed many of the donated goods to go to waste. Ayexa Beauchamp is co-founder of the Latino Equity Fund with the Boston Foundation and helped lead fundraising efforts following Maria. She says this time, relief organizations are using their knowledge and experience from the previous storm and are better equipped to help those in need.
The best way to help the island is through the current nonprofits that we already have, who've been institutional partners for many, many years there on the island and really know how to get support to the island.
She says the need is great. More than a week after Hurricane Fiona made landfall, hundreds of thousands of people remain without water or electricity. Roads are washed out, many schools are closed, and families remain in shelters. I'm Catherine Carley reporting.
President Biden has said the federal government would fully cover the cost of relief efforts in Puerto Rico for the next month. And House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has suggested the use of community block grants to train workers on the island to repair infrastructure damage. It has been more than 50 years since the White House held a gathering about the effects of hunger.
In 1969, the White House held its first and only conference on hunger, nutrition, and health. On Wednesday, the Biden administration is reviving the meeting, bringing together members of Congress and groups working to fight food insecurity. Eric Williams with Second Harvest Inland Northwest says it's very timely, considering the recent pressures on families.
We all were spinning and pedaling really, really hard during the pandemic, and we kind of got through that and thought, well, thank goodness that's better and things like hunger will be reduced. And then first of the year, inflation hit.
Williams says between 2021 and 2022, need has gone up 35% in the network his organization serves. The conference will be streamed live online and include remarks in the afternoon from President Joe Biden. I'm Eric Tegedoff reporting.
Now from NBC News, with Hurricane Ian growing stronger and marching northward, Florida on Monday began ordering evacuations and preparing for possible floods. By late Monday afternoon, Ian was moving northwest at about 13 miles an hour, about 150 miles southeast of the western tip of Cuba. This is PNS. As part of National Recovery Month, a new tool identifies different areas in the U.S. in need of stronger recovery systems for people dealing with substance abuse.
The Recovery Ecosystem Index Mapping Tool is an online data set of recovery ecosystems across the country. It uses a bevy of indicators, from availability of treatment and transportation to income, age, and disability access, to determine where people are seeing real recovery from substance abuse. Michael Meat with the East Tennessee State University Center for Rural Health Research says the tool has made some interesting findings so far.
What we noticed is the areas that have had the greatest challenge with substance use disorder tend to have the strongest recovery ecosystems. And that kind of makes sense because those are the areas that have needed to respond. They have a community where there's need and the communities come together to respond.
He adds those areas that haven't been as greatly affected by substance abuse tend to have weaker recovery ecosystems. He notes the others with the biggest addiction problems and strongest recovery systems are not seeing a cycle of abuse and recovery, but people there are able to remain successful in their recovery. I'm Edwin J. Vieira.
And as the drought grinds on, hydroponic farming is getting a fresh look because California growers can produce a juicy vine-ripened tomato with 90% less water.
The plants are raised in a greenhouse, and with no soil to keep wet, they're very water efficient. Scott Balick with Balick Family Farms in Fillmore says he's got it down to a science.
We're pretty precise. Our drippers are pressure compensated, and they're literally putting out 0.5 gallon per hour. So all the nutrients are combined. Every single nutrient that a tomato plant needs, we've added to the water.
Large-scale field-grown tomato crops are mainly processed into ketchup or soups, but that may become less profitable if the drought drives up water prices. This story was produced with original reporting from Kaylee Wells with KCRW in association with Solutions Journalism Network. This is Suzanne Potter reporting.
Finally, Mary Sherman tells us education officials in Ohio want state leaders to invest in free school meals for all students.
Pandemic-era federal waivers that enabled schools to offer breakfast and lunch at no cost expired in June, meaning families in need of assistance have to income qualify for federal school meal programs. For a family of four, it's about $51,000 a year for reduced-price meals and $36,000 for free meals. At the Wellington Exempted Village School District, Nutrition Services Director Andrea Helton worries that kids will fall through the cracks.
A lot of those other factors that go into providing food for children every single day.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported, heard on radio stations big and small, your favorite podcast platform. Find your trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.